Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. From Italy to Spain to Poland and beyond, if you plan to travel to Europe, then you probably have a few questions. How do I get the most out of my dream vacation? Where should I stay? And once in Europe, should I fly to my next destination or take a train? Travel expert Rick Steves can answer those questions and more. He's written many books, including his updated 2012 Rick Steves Europe Through the Back Door, the Travel Skills Handbook. Rick Steves Europe airs on WOSU Television on Saturdays at 5:30 p.m., and Travel with Rick Steves airs on 89.7 every Sunday at noon. Through television, radio, and his best-selling guidebooks, Rick goes beyond telling you where to go. He advocates thoughtful travel and challenges us to get out of our comfort zones. He's with us today to talk about how to turn travel into an enlightening experience that brings us all closer together. Rick, thanks for joining us today.
Great to be with you, Ann.
And today is also our membership drive, and WOSU counts on your support. 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org to make a pledge right now. We are offering two great Rick Steves thank you gifts today. For $60, it is Rick's newest book, 2012 Rick Steves Europe Through the Back Door, the Travel Skills Handbook. Rick, tell us a little bit about what people will find in the updated version of the book.
Well, you know, the whole idea, I think, is for me to make the mistakes and take careful notes so other people can learn from my mistakes and travel more smoothly. And when I get ripped off in Europe, I celebrate because they don't know who they just ripped off. I'm going to learn that scam and, you know, spice that into the new edition of the book. This particular book is the first book that I wrote back in 1980. I've written 30 different books now, and this book I update every year with 4 months of travel in Europe. So I'm so happy to be able to pack the lessons of 30 years of travel into this 800-page sort of handbook for how to enjoy Europe independently on a budget. And if people are, you know, inspired by the great programming they hear on WOSU, and if they are inspired by my TV show about Europe, and they really want to actually go out there and broaden their perspective through travel, you know, there's certain fundamentals you need to learn, and this book will give you the basics so that you can stay healthy, so you can find not only good value hotels and restaurants, but hotels and restaurants that give you a real experience and those vivid memories that are the most wonderful souvenir. And also the book saves you just a heck of a lot of money. The first half of the book are all the practical skills. The last half of the book are individual chapters on my 40 favorite discoveries, what I call the back doors. And if people enjoy WOSU day in and day out, you know, I certainly enjoy my public radio station here in Seattle. $60 is a beautiful amount to contribute to help make public radio strong in our communities. And as a thank you gift, you know, we'd love to send out that Europe Through the Back Door, the new edition of Europe Through the Back Door, plus at each level, the $60. And then for $160, people get that book plus the DVD anthology with all of our TV shows. They'll also get a newsletter that I wrote with the Smithsonian Magazine. I got to write an entire edition of that thing. It was 100 pages featuring my favorite destinations and their beautiful art. And then a new 64-page newsletter that we've put out called Best Destinations, talking about all the best experiences around Europe. So lots of reasons to celebrate public radio right now and make WOSU strong and at the same time snare some thank you gifts.
1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org to make a pledge right now. Any big trends over the past year that people should be aware of? Any big any big changes in travel in Europe?
Well, I've just been thinking a lot about that, Anne, because I spend 4 months a year in Europe updating my guidebooks, and it's always changing. I mean, Europe has this internal sort of Marshall Plan where they're investing in their infrastructure like we have a hard time imagining. And, you know, they're improving Europe from an infrastructure point of view. So every time I go over there, there's a new fast bullet train or a new bridge or a new tunnel, and it makes my information out of date. So I have to update it because it's a quicker trip. It used to be 8 hours by train from Madrid to Sevilla. Now it's 2.5 hours. I mean, it's just mind-blowing to think of how efficiently you can get around in Europe. If you haven't been there for a little while, when you go back, one of the joys of traveling there is just using all of this infrastructure. I was recently in a train station in Munich just watching trains come in, and I was photographing the trains coming into the station, specifically little birds squished onto the windshields of trains coming into the stations. And when I saw those little birds splattered onto the windshields, actually, you know, plastered onto the windshields of these trains, I thought two things. I thought, boy, it'd be you know, it's a dangerous continent here in Europe if you're a slow bird. And I also thought, you'd wait all your life to see a bird squished to the windshield where I live. It's a surreal image. I can imagine a bird sitting on top of a train in the United States having a cigarette or something, but squashed under the window. No, that's not going to happen here, but it happens in Europe. Those trains are like airplanes on rails. So it's just fun to travel there.
And this is what we love about you, Rick Steves. $60 contribution to your favorite public radio station. And for that, our thank you gift to you is the latest edition of Rick's Foundational Travel Skills Book, 2012 Europe Through the Back Door, a travel skills handbook. Also, a special full-color edition of Smithsonian Magazine, Travels with Rick Steves, and the Rick Steves Tour Newsletter. At the $160 contribution level, the Rick Steves All 90 Shows DVD Anthology 2000 through 2012. It's a boxed set of Rick Steves' Europe TV show with extras like Rick's budget travel lecture, his European Christmas special, and his public TV special on travel to Iran and, the bloopers, which a lot of people love those things. And that's on top of everything else. That's at the $160 contribution level. Call 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org and make that pledge right now. Show your support for 89.7 NPR News. I was wondering about the speed of travel there. The way you described it, it was funny, but I was wondering, does that take away in some ways from the experience? Do you have to make sure you stop and smell the roses a little more?
That's a very good point. And when I give my talk, I just yesterday gave a talk to a group about, you know, smart European travel. I showed the slide of the squished bird on the windshield of the train, you can imagine. and then I showed a slide of my car on a very windy, beautiful one-lane road on the cliff in Ireland. And I made that exact point. And you've got to make a point, especially these days, to get out and smell the roses. You know, you can, now there's discount airlines where you can fly from, you know, from Barcelona to Madrid for cheaper than you can take the train or the bus. And all that is super efficient. And you got these bullet trains that don't even stop for hours, going 100 miles an hour or whatever, which is just great. But obviously, the other side of the coin is you do want to get out and see things. So it makes a lot of sense to counter all that efficiency by, like you said, get out and smell the roses. One of my themes is stop, get out, eat it. You know, I was just tooling around Sicily a little while ago, and I came upon a cheese festival in a village, and I was heading somewhere else, but I was driving through this village, and there was a cheese festival. I didn't know the name of the village. I don't care about the name of the village. It was just impromptu, as far as I was concerned, cheese festival. I got out, parked my car, and spent some beautiful time wandering through the place, trying proud farmers' cheeses, getting to know people, clowning around, taking photographs. One man picks up a moldy wad of goat cheese, takes a deep whiff. Oh, smell this cheese. It smells like the feet of angels. And, you know, if you meet these people who are evangelical about cheese, it really does sort of carbonate your experience. And if I didn't stop the car, get out, and check it out, you know, touch it, I would have completely missed it. And I'm afraid a lot of travelers are so hung up on their itineraries and the efficiency, and they've overbooked themselves here and there, that they don't just let that, what we call positive serendipity, take over once in a while. So that is an important part of your trip.
1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. Make your show of support for WOSU and 89.7 NPR News and all sides with Dan Fisher for that matter. At the $60 contribution level, three items: a Rick Steves Tour newsletter, the special full-color edition of Smithsonian Magazine called Travels with Rick Steves, and the latest edition of Rick's Foundational Travel Skills Book, 2012, Europe Through the Back Door, a Travel Skills Handbook. That's what we're talking about right now. Rick, you say that picking the right time of year is very important when you travel. How should one do that? Because it's a personal thing in a way.
Well, it's just a survival thing in a lot of ways, too. You know, for a lot of people, they're retired travelers, or they're wondering physically, can we actually handle this? It seems kind of grueling and demanding physically to travel independently without somebody doing the driving or taking a cruise or something like that, which are good options. But if you want to be sort of hands-on and independent, you need to recognize how demanding it is physically. Now, I would remind travelers that the most demanding thing about, or the most exhausting thing about travel is the heat and the crowds of summer. It is really crowded and it's really hot in the summer, south of the Alps in the Mediterranean world. I think it's very important to try to steer your trip into shoulder season if you can. April, October, you know, the spring and the fall. That's the best time to travel. I'm in a 30-year rut now. I spend every April and May in the Mediterranean. I go home for June, and then I spend every July and August north of the Alps in Europe. That's just my beat and my work. And it would be absolutely crazy to do it the other way around, to do April and May north of the Alps and then July and August in the Mediterranean. So you need to, you know, factor in crowds, you need to factor in heat. You'll notice there's a lot of Italians up in Scandinavia in July and August these days, just because Italy is getting unbearable in the summer. You know, people still live there, people still travel there. I still travel there when I need to. But it's a lot more comfortable if you will look at the climate charts and do your Mediterranean and your hot countries in the cooler time. I would also, on the other hand, remind people that in places like Britain and Scandinavia and the north of Europe and Ireland, you don't care about crowds. You want long days and you want lots of people and you want good weather. And you're not going to necessarily get good weather in Britain and Ireland and Scandinavia, but you're more likely to get it in the summer. And you'll never find miserable crowds like you'll find in France or Italy. So I would go peak season when possible in Ireland, Britain, and Scandinavia. The irony is if you go, it's a lot of people get really good about leaving the crowds. If you go to Scandinavia, Britain, and Ireland when it's off-season or not peak season, a lot of the sites are actually closed or they're so empty they just feel desolate. And a lot of the English tours are not available. A lot of the activities are not available. But in July and August, they have a short tour season, and really they crank it up, and it's just a real, it's sort of a festival of activities. So you want that vibrancy in the north by going peak season, I would say, if you can. And on another note, big cities are fine all year long. I love moving right into a big city for a week in the winter. Dress appropriately. In Europe, they say there's no bad weather, just inappropriate clothing. And then get comfortable in a great big city and just stay there for a week and really do it thoroughly. London, Paris, Berlin, Dublin, Istanbul, Rome. These are cities you could spend a week in very easily. Prague, winter or summer. On these cities, and that would really be, I think, a lot of fun.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher, and every day All Sides brings you interesting conversations with people who are experts in their field. Today the subject is travel, and Rick Steves is certainly a travel expert. Support public radio and local news with your pledge. Call 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org. For your pledge of $160 to our station, you'll receive Rick's latest book, 2012, Europe Through the Back Door, a travel skills handbook, and Rick Steves' 90-show DVD anthology. This is a collection of Rick's best shows from the year 2000 through today. And you will get Rick's newsletter and a new magazine. All of that for $160 when you call 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org. Rick, how important is it for people? I mean, there's that sense of discovery that you really want people to capture and embrace on a trip to Europe, but there's also some place you want to educate yourself beforehand, too.
That's a very good point. You want to, you know, the more you prepare for your trip and the better experience you're going to have. I've just been thinking about that a lot as I'm planning my upcoming travels, is the more I know about where I'm going to go, the more I'll be prepared to get the most out of it. I was just in Estonia, and I didn't know about the singing revolution. It was courageous choral singers that stood up against the dictates of the Soviet Union, and Estonia was one of the first countries to really break the bind or whatever of the Soviet Union and establish their freedom. They did it by gathering one out of every three people in that entire country together in one beautiful open-air theater. And they all sang. They sang outlawed, patriotic Estonian songs, and they asserted their independence. And it is such a thrilling story. I had been to Estonia several times and didn't really connect with that. Then I learned about that, and I went back to my hotel that night, and I downloaded the movie called The Singing Revolution, and I watched it. And I was just on an Estonian high while I was there because I had that connection with the stirring 20th century history when these people won their freedom through song rather than through guns, because they, you know, they say, you know, we've spent our whole history. It's just there's 1 million people in this world that speak Estonian. They've spent their whole history trying to survive, bullied between Germany, and Russia. Now, if you're 1 million, you know, people without a lot of military might and so on, bullied between Germany and Russia, when you think of the tumult of the last century, it's amazing you're still in surviving at all. And they have, and they said, you know, when you're as small as we are and as outgunned as you are, they just have to raise their voices in song to remind people that they exist. It is such an inspiration. But that's just one tiny example of all the great, great story. Václav Havel just passed away recently, right, in the Czech Republic, in Prague. Well, last time I was in the Czech Republic, I was with a friend, and we stood in front of the president's palace where 80,000 Czech people gathered 10 nights in a row, jangling their keychains at the communist president's palace, saying it's time to go home. Every night they'd get together. It was a peaceful revolution, not a violent revolution. They would jangle their keychains at their communist dictator's front porch, saying it's time to go home. Finally, one night, they gathered 80,000 strong there on Wenceslas Square, and the president was gone, and the Czech people had won their independence. And Václav Havel was one of the inspirations of that revolution. Well, Václav Havel, you know, a generation later, finally passes away, and on his funeral procession, people were jangling keychains in remembering how he inspired the people to peacefully win their freedom. To be connected to that kind of exciting history and that thrilling sort of people's underdog success stories, to me, is so fundamental to good travel. I think while we're talking about all of this, I do want to remind people that I'm so thankful to be able to produce and consume programming on public broadcasting, whether it's TV or radio, because as a producer of radio shows and TV shows on WOSU, I get the luxury of knowing that I've got an audience whose intelligence I can respect, who I can assume has an attention span, and I'm free to make programming not shaped by advertiser interests. My shows would never see the light of day on the commercial part of the dial. There's one oasis where we can, you know, vigorously produce programming with no regard to advertisers' needs, with just a passion for bringing a better understanding of our world home to our communities. That's why I think supporting WOSU right now is flat-out good citizenship. There has never been a time in our history where we've needed broadcasting to help us sort through the complex challenges confronting our nation as right now. Having public broadcasting available to give us news straight rather than to play up to our fears is just critical. And that's why I think if people appreciate WOSU, I know it seems kind of annoying sometimes to be hit up for money, but you're hit up for money all the time indirectly when you consume commercial media that compromises itself by shaping the content for the advertiser's tastes and then breaks up all the programming with annoying ads every few minutes. To me, a pledge drive like this is a celebration reminding us that we do have one precious place on the dial where we have that quality broadcasting and that high-minded way that we can get information. That's what WOSU is all about. If you understand that, really, you need to give us a call right now. If you can afford to support this station and if you are consuming this information, it's not a charity, it's a service, and it's only right to help out. And we've got a great way to sugar the pie right now, because at $60, we're going to offer you my most important guidebook, Europe Through the Back Door. That's just, I call it the Kama Sutra of European travel fun. Every little trick I've learned in 30 years to enjoy Europe is yours, with great thanks for a $60 gift to this station. And if you'd like to support this station at $160, you'll get that book plus 50 hours of television in 14 discs in this smart DVD box set that contains everything we've ever done. Our Iran show, our Christmas special, all of our TV shows, special lectures I give all over the country, you name it, it's on there, plus about an hour of excruciating, embarrassing bloopers. So it's a lot of fun right now. Again, $60 for the book, $160 for the book and the DVD anthology. And at both levels, you'll get that 100-page beautiful coffee table Smithsonian edition. I got to write it all, and they paired my favorite articles with their beautiful art, and you'll get our brand new 64-page newsletter that highlights all of our favorite experiences in Europe and explains to you what I do in my work here in Seattle with my 80 workmates. The phone number, 1-866-897-9678. Please get on the phone, make WOSU strong in Central Ohio.
Every dollar makes a difference, and every dollar helps us reach our goal. Pledge $60 or pledge $160 for our special Rick Steves thank you gifts. Our volunteers can tell you all about the two gift packages. Call 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org, and thank you for your support. You know, you were talking about people who go on tours kind of sometimes can miss a lot, but sometimes tours can help. When is a, how do you decide when a tour's appropriate or not, Rick Steves?
Well, that is a fundamental question, Anne, because, you know, I think, well, actually, I think a lot of people go on tours for, there's a lot of good reasons and there's a lot of bad reasons for taking tours. I think, unfortunately, the most common reason people have for taking tours is the wrong reason. They take tours because they don't think they can do it on their own. You know, any of our listeners right now are smart enough to handle Europe on their own if they choose to go on their own. Now, taking a tour can be a good choice for an independent-minded traveler because there's huge economy and efficiency in organized travel. That's the main thing we do in our work. I mean, I employ 80 people here in Seattle, and we've got 30 guidebooks. We've got a weekly radio show and a fun TV show on public TV. And we take about 12,000 Americans on our tours every year. Last year, we took 400 groups around Europe on 30 different itineraries. It was our best year ever. And these were smart people. They didn't want to just mindlessly follow the umbrella, but they wanted to take advantage of the efficiency of having, you know, 25 people sharing one vehicle with a great guide that can have things organized. So when you come into town, you know, you'll get a special angle on this. You'll have a local guide for that. You'll be sure to eat this. You'll have a bus waiting for you when the boat gets into the next port to whisk you to the next spot where you don't need to worry about parking and you can relax during the drive. All those things are really nice from a tour point of view. But you've got to remember that a typical tour, I'm not talking about my tours, which are different, but a typical tour is impossibly cheap. And then once you get on board, they make money off of you by selling you things and getting kickbacks and selling you sightseeing and angling for tips. Now, that's not wrong, but as a consumer, you should understand that you've got a typical cheap bus tour going to Amsterdam on a typical quick itinerary. You're not going to see Van Gogh. You're going to go to diamond polishing. Why is that? Well, the tour company's trying to make money. They sold the tour at a no-profit way, and then they're making money off you over the course of the trip. The guide's not paid, but a token wage. He makes his serious income off of commissions on what he sells you, on the sightseeing you buy, and off your shopping. Well, when you go to Amsterdam, if you take a group to Van Gogh Museum, it costs $15 a head to show them Van Gogh, and there's no kickbacks on Van Gogh's purchased. On the other hand, if you take them to the diamond polishing place, it's flat out free. Your bus driver gets a carton of cigarettes, and you get 20% back on all the diamonds people buy. What's a better choice for a profit-oriented tour company? Take you to the diamond polishing. Of course, they've got to subtly downplay the importance of Van Gogh and upplay the importance of diamonds. And I vividly remember on early tours from other companies that I took, when they took us to Amsterdam, they said, you can't say you've been to the Netherlands unless you've been to a diamond polishing works. And if you really love your wife, you won't miss this opportunity to buy her a diamond while you're in Amsterdam. Well, people buy that, and of course, that's big money for the tour companies. So as consumers, we just need to know the backside of this, how to take advantage of a tour company so it doesn't take advantage of you. There's a chapter in Europe Through the Back Door, the 800-page guidebook that people are getting when they support us today at $60 or $160. Very important chapter. It's called Bus Tour Self-Defense, and it talks about how to take advantage of a tour so it won't take advantage of you. And I'll tell you one thing. These cheap tours can be the very cheapest way to go to Europe of all. If you think of it as a bus pass that comes with comfortable, forgettable American-style hotels, and then don't do any of the activities and don't buy anything extra, because that's a no-profit bus route. If you like the itinerary, if you want comfortable, no-stress hotels, and if you can just skip out of lunch, even if it's included, and do your own thing, you're freeloading on that big, cheap bus tour, and that can be a beautiful way to enjoy Europe stress-free and free and economically.
I would imagine some people go with tours because they're afraid that traveling alone can be lonely and boring. And you say that traveling in Europe makes it easy to combat loneliness and boredom. You mentioned that when you told the story about the cheese shop and how you had so much fun just, you know, in an impromptu way.
Oh, the cheese experience in Sicily, yeah.
Yeah, in Sicily. But what do you say to people who are afraid to travel alone?
Well, that's the big.
Oh, well, maybe
in a
fear
way,
is
that's
the
a
wrong
challenge.
Word. Maybe just uncomfortable.
Right. Well, it is. It takes a little bit of courage, I think, to fly to another continent where you've never been, where you don't know anybody, where you don't speak the language, and you hardly, you know, you keep walking into the door that says pull and you think it says push. I mean, I've been doing that for 30 years.
I do that here. What are you doing?
I do it all the time in here if I just feel like Mr. Magoo. The key is to find ways to connect with people. When you go to a pub in England, it's pub. That means public house. It's the extended living room for the whole community. Everybody's there. Grandma, the kids, the dogs, they're playing darts, they're gossiping, they're having dinner, they're having a beer, whatever. Remember, if you sit at a table, they kind of assume you want some privacy. But if you sit at the bar, that's where you sit to meet people. There's plenty of ways to meet people. One of the classic things to do in Europe is sit on the bench with the old guys and watch the parade of people every night for the passeggiata or the paseo. I always say if you see four cute guys sitting on a bench, ask them to scoot over. Join them. They've been there every night for 30 years, and they'll still remember you, that funny tourist that decided to sit there with them and gawk at all the people going by. You know, Europe is really into being out and strolling. It's a multi-generational festival every evening. And I'm just a sucker for that. My producer for the TV series always jokes that I could put a passeggiata or a paseo, the evening strolling, in every show if he would let me, just because I'm so charmed by that. And I'll tell you, after 2 months in Europe, when I get home, I feel like, it's magic hour. The sun's low in the sky. I think I'll take a little stroll down the, through the neighborhood. I feel like mothers are taking their children in nervously because there's a strange man in the streets. It's just a different world that we live in. But in Europe, everybody's out. Instead of sitting alone looking at their TV screen, they're out, gathing at the fountain on the main square and just making the scene. So that's a fun thing to connect with. And whether you're traveling on your own or with a partner, it really is important that you find ways to meet people. And that's a big part of my Europe Through the Back Door book and the whole philosophy. If I'm making a TV show or organizing one of our guided bus tours or writing my guidebooks, if I'm not connecting people with people, I'm really concerned. I mean, that's what really distinguishes a trip. If people like my TV shows, I think part of it is because I've got friends over there and I can meet people and we're just really determined to connect with locals. And in so many ways, the less you spend, the more you connect with locals. I don't want to connect with locals who know how much to charge to carry my bag, who are wearing top hats and tails at the fancy hotel. I want to stay in a bed and breakfast. You enjoy double the cultural intimacy for half the price of a hotel when you stay in a bed and breakfast. If you're traveling to meet people and learn about the culture, it's worth much more to stay in a B&B than a hotel. But the fun irony is it's half the cost. Every country has B&Bs. You just got to know the local word. Husrum is Norwegian. For ryokan, which is Japanese. For soba, which is Slovenian. For chambordot, which is French. For zimmer, which is German. For bed and breakfast. I just love staying in people's homes. And, people need a boost in their local economy. I mean, for $60 or $80 a night, they'll have a couple in their home, and that's really good for their economy, and it's a real good budget deal for the travelers as well. Let's remind people, Anne, about the gifts again, can we?
Yes.
We've got two gift packages today. If you'd like to support WOSU, and let me challenge you to get on board, because this channel is so important. It is so important that we have a non-commercial alternative, a high-minded source on the dial where we can make programming that assumes an attention span, that respects our intelligence, and is not shaped by advertiser interests. That's what WOSU is all about. It's not a charity, it's a service. And if you're enjoying consuming it and you can't afford it, well, that's fine. It's a beautiful thing that we have this in our community for everybody. But if you can afford to help out, you don't need to be heroic on it. $60 would just be great. You'll be on board. You'll make WOSU strong in your community. Give it a whirl. If you've never done it, it's fun to be on board. It feels good. And then every time you tune in, you are making something important for the fabric of your community. More important than ever right now that we have strong public broadcasting as our nation is confronting unprecedented challenges. And there's so much of an interest out there in both dumbing us down and pumping up fear. I find that fear is for people who don't get out much. I find that the flip side of fear is understanding. We gain understanding through travel. And I also believe anybody who's pushing fear on me has an agenda. They want to keep me down. WOSU does not push fear. WOSU is passionate about giving us an understanding of our world and grappling head-on with complex issues without kowtowing to the needs of advertisers. That is bold. That is courageous. That has never been more important. And that also threatens powerful sources in our community who don't like people standing up to those kind of corporate interests. WOSU, this pledge drive right now should be a celebration. People in Columbus have a great, hardworking, committed public radio station. If you agree with that, get on board. The phone number is 1-866-897-9678. There's two gifts. $60, you get Europe Through the Back Door. That's the How to Travel Handbook, the most important book that I've written, updated every year with 4 months of travel for the last 30 years. This is the book where you can learn from my mistakes rather than your own and enjoy maximum travel thrills for every mile, minute, and dollar in your next vacation. If you'd rather go a little bit more generous, add a $160 gift to this station. We'll thank you with the book I just mentioned, plus the exciting 14-disc DVD anthology with 50 hours of TV, every show we've ever made, the entire European library, plus my one-hour Iran special, my one-hour Christmas special that celebrates Christmas in 7 different countries, all sorts of lectures I give and special programs that you wouldn't see on TV, and lots of embarrassing bloopers. And at each level, $60 and $160, there's two more gifts. There's the Smithsonian Magazine and our latest newsletter. Please make WOSU strong in your community. Thank you.
You know, Rick, I never apologize for pledge drives like some people think, you know, we might. But you just make me feel so much better. I just might play that back at night every night and put myself to sleep because it makes me feel very good. Thank you so much for all your help. Now, you mentioned earlier bed and breakfast and how it helps people in, you know, local economies. Let's talk a little bit about the larger European economic crisis. It's been going on for months.
Well, you know, we've got our economic crisis in Europe as its economic crisis. First of all, we have to keep things into perspective. We're both filthy rich. I mean, on this planet, I mean, it's just everybody else wishes they had our problems. Okay, so remember that. The average person is making $2 or $3 a day. The average woman on this planet is walking 4 or 5 hours to get water for her kids. Okay. Now, in the United States and in Greece, we've got problems. One problem, I think, is that we have ever older societies with lavish, generous entitlements that were based on young societies. Now, the demographics have changed. And Europe has a more geriatric society than we do, and Europe has even more generous and lavish entitlements than we do. So Europe's problems are even worse than ours. Basically, Europe has this lavish, cradle-to-grave security system and all these beautiful things, which are great if you can afford it. And they were based on a demographic situation with a populace shaped like a pyramid, with a lot of young people working, a few old people retiring, and once they retire, they don't live very long. Well, when a society gets rich and well-educated, it has less children. That's just the case all over the world. Wealthy societies have lower birth rates, and the wealthiest, most educated, corner of the world, I think, in a lot of ways, is Europe, and they've got the smallest population growth. They've got a geriatric situation there. That's why a lot of Europeans wanted to bring in Turkey, not because they like Turks, but they wanted 70 million young people to, beef up their workforce. Well, now you've got a situation where people worked all their lives, and you've got a few young people, a lot of old people retiring, and they live really long. And politicians have to say, you know, this just doesn't add up anymore. And we can't give you the promise that your parents have. You've worked all your life with the promise that you could retire at 58. Sorry, now you got to work until you're 68. And maybe you'll retire, maybe you won't. That's enough to make people really angry. And Europeans, you know, they love to march. Manifestation, all over Europe. All my life I've seen Europeans marching by the millions. It's quite amazing. And it's just a way they vent and they celebrate their freedom and so on. All that marching is just way too much exercise, I think, for most Americans. We just like to go home and find a TV station that echoes our frustrations and then shake our fists and yell, you know. But Europeans get out and burn a Starbucks and that sort of thing. So I wouldn't say it's not a polite thing, but it's just part of the whole dynamic. Uh-huh. In Europe, I think, like in the United States, we've conned ourselves into thinking we're wealthier than we are. I think people have been consuming more than they've been producing. A lot of clever people find a way to just get up on top and rearrange the furniture and not produce anything and take a lot of money away. A lot of the best and brightest in our society go into those kind of jobs these days because that's where the easy big money is. And in Europe, you'll have this whole Mediterranean notion, I think, of siesta and people taking it easy and la dolce far niente in Italy, the sweetness of doing nothing. And in Germany, they're just famous for working and working and producing a lot and then taking a nice vacation and so on. And right now, Germany is subsidizing the Mediterranean world. And that's going to be quite an adjustment. And the Mediterranean world's going to have to figure this out. I think when you think about the European Union, all these countries now have the euro. And I'm not an economist, but the way I understand it is the euro is like the Deutschmark. And they've got a strong German-style currency, but they still have their kind of enjoy-the-moment Greek or Portuguese or Spanish work ethic. And because they're on the euro, they've been falsely promoted into this kind of affluence without necessarily really producing to deserve it. And it just cannot be sustained. And right now they're dealing with that problem. I don't know what the solution is. I would remind people that you can, when you look at the news, especially commercial news, it has to, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. It has to be exciting and crazy to gather a lot of audience so they can charge for their ads. But the news usually makes it look worse than it is. And I've been in Europe all my life during exciting events, and it looks worse on the news in the United States than it actually is when you're in that town. And I would expect a lot of demonstrations and a lot of adjustments in the future. But I was just in all over Europe, including Greece, in the last couple of months, having a wonderful time. And I wouldn't want to be a worker there hoping for a retirement. But from a travel point of view, I think they're more eager than ever to get our money. We're the number one source of foreign revenue and the number one employer in a lot of countries, and they'll take good care of their tourists.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Call 1-866-897-9678 or visit us online at WOSU.org. Make a pledge of $60 or $160 right now and receive some great Rick Steves thank you gifts. But we need to hear from you now. Make that pledge while Rick is on the air with us. Call 1-866-897-9678 or visit us online at WOSU.org. Show your support for 89.7 NPR News, for All Sides with Ann Fisher, for everything you love about your public radio station, 89.7 NPR News. And the kinds of folks we bring to your door, bring to your right into your home every single day, like Rick Steves. Rick, you say that dated guidebooks can be dangerous. So you update your books every year. And today we're offering, as we've mentioned a couple times now, some great thank you gift packages that include your 2012 book. Why do people need to be wary of a dated guidebook? How bad could it be? Even the 2009 or 2010 version, say.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting issue. And of course, I make money by selling guidebooks, so I think people should buy them twice a year. But not really. But I mean, it's just you can be classic penny wise and pound foolish when it comes to saving money by making do with old information. People have to keep things into perspective. Your trip is a $3,000 or $4,000 experience, you and your travel partner or whatever. It's a big investment. And a guidebook is a $20 tool for that experience. I would really work hard to get a guidebook that fits my personality and that is lovingly updated and that is the latest edition, right up to date. I can ask the bookseller, when's the new edition of this coming out? If it's a good bookstore, they'll know. Lonely Planet books are updated in many cases on a 3-year cycle. And rather than buy the book that's 2.5 years old, if my trip's coming up in 6 months, I'll wait for the new edition because I know it changes a lot in 3 years. I believe we're one of the only publishers that is still doing our very best to visit every place in every book every year. We try to visit every place in person. I have a staff of 80. I've just had a meeting, a 3-hour meeting with 20 people who are going to be helping me research and update my guidebooks. And we're going to visit every place in the books. And I'm going to be taking the lead. I just absolutely love it. Europe is changing so fast. I mean, you've got the London Olympics, you've got the new elevator that goes to the Victor Emmanuel Monument in Rome that lets you go to the top of that big ugly building that everybody loves to hate, giving you the best view in the entire city, in part because you're on top of the building you don't want to look at. You've got crowd challenges. I was just halfway up the Eiffel Tower taking a photograph looking straight down at the lines. There's two entrances. One was just a bunch of empty stanchions, empty, with 3 or 4 people walking straight in. And the other was an hour-long, 2-hour-long line of must have been 1,000 people. What's the difference? Those 1,000 people did not go to the website and make a reservation. The people walking right through the empty stanchions and straight onto the elevator had a guidebook like mine, and they knew how to go to the website and make an appointment, and they just show up and they walk right in. I was just in Athens, and they've got a grand, beautiful new museum, the Acropolis Museum, literally in the shadow of the Acropolis. All my life, I've been going out to the National Museum of Archaeology on the other side of town to see great ancient Athenian art or Greek art. But now, if you've got a short visit to Athens, I think you can make the case that the best use of your time is to go to the Acropolis and then follow up with this beautiful, brand-new Acropolis Museum right there and skip the National Museum of Archaeology. That's an up-to-date guidebook, and that's also a guidebook that has opinions. I think it really frustrates me as a consumer of travel information to hear somebody say you can spend a lifetime in Florence. I know you can spend a lifetime in Florence, but I got 1.5 days. Now, how should I spend them? We Americans have the shortest vacations in the rich world, and we need somebody that doesn't just gather information and pile on the superlatives, but somebody that sorts through the information and cuts through the superlatives and say, if you got less than a month in England, don't do Oxford and Cambridge. Do one or other of the great university towns, and Oxford is not as good as Cambridge. Go to Cambridge and then save up time to do something entirely different, like hike up in the Lakes District or go, visit the little fishing towns of the North Wales coast or whatever might be more interesting for you. So these are exciting issues. And if you enjoy the planning part of your trip and you equip yourself with up-to-date information, you can have the trip of a lifetime. And my confidence is based on the feedback I get from people who I've helped inspire to enjoy traveling and traveling smart. They go over there, have the time of their life with no previous experience, no language skills, no reservations. People whose grandchildren said you shouldn't be doing this, and they come home with money in the bank for next summer's trip. So for the right people, if they're determined to be their own tour guides, they can have a great trip and for a reasonable price.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. You're listening to me talk with Rick Steves, our favorite travel guide. He's all over the place all the time, and he's cut out some time to talk to us today. Show your support, show your appreciation. If this is something you care about, give us a call at 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. Or go online to WOSU.org. You can talk to our operators. They'll explain to you what our thank you gifts are to you and at what level. With a pledge at the $60 level, we have a great Rick Steves package as your thank you gift. In this package, you will get the latest edition of Rick's Foundational Travel Skills book, Europe Through the Back Door, a special full-color edition of Smithsonian Magazine called Travels with Rick Steves, and the Rick Steves Tour Newsletter. Get the most out of every day of your vacation with Rick's newest handbook. Just a $60 contribution to 89.7 NPR News. Call 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org and make your pledge right now. We really, really appreciate it. Rick, you say that there are two IQs of travelers in Europe, those who wait in lines and those you don't, and you just mentioned one way to do it is to make a reservation. Are there also ways to check ahead to find out when things are open and what the best times are to go in general?
Oh, yeah. And that's a very good point, Anne, and I make that point that time and time again, I'll come into a city that I visit almost every year, let's say Florence, and I go to the beautiful Uffizi Gallery with the very best paintings from the Florentine Renaissance. And I made a reservation a few days ago on the web, or I made a phone call, a simple phone call, and they told me gave me an appointment number and a time. But I go there, and there's invariably a long line of hot, sweaty, frustrated tourists that are waiting to get in. And I look at them, and I just think, man, you guys, you're kind of stupid, because you're only in Florence for one day of your life, and you're spending 2 hours in this line, and I'm going to be into that museum and out before you even get up to the turnstile, and I get to come back every year, and all I did was make a simple phone call a couple days ago and made an appointment. Mm-hmm. Why don't they take the reins and sort through this and realize that time is a precious resource as well? All over Europe, you've got these opportunities to avoid these lines. I'm so passionate about finding lines and then helping my travelers get around them with my guidebooks. I write guidebooks for every country in Europe. I've got city guides for Florence and Rome and Paris and London and so on. And that's a major challenge for me, is to find the lines and then help my people get around them. In Paris, for instance, one of my favorite tips, or the tips that people just really appreciate, is you buy the museum pass and you pay for it with three entries. You know, it's good for a day or 2 days or 3 days or 4 days or whatever you choose. And with a couple of entries, it's paid for itself. And then you always get to go straight up to the turnstile at the Saint-Chapelle, at the Orsay, at Versailles, at the Louvre. You get to go straight to the turnstile, flash your pass, and you're in. Remember, most of those long, horrible lines are not lines to get into the famous site. They are lines to buy a ticket to get into the famous site. And there's lots of ways to get around those tickets. Italians are really clever at wringing as much money as possible out of tourists to visit their famous sites. And what they've done lately is make you buy combo tickets. So you can't just see the Colosseum. You got to see the Colosseum and the Palatine Hill. And few people want to see the Palatine Hill, and everybody wants to see the Colosseum. Well, Both of them are cost about the same, and they don't want to double the price in the Colosseum, even though they could. What they do is they just require that you buy a ticket, a combo ticket to the Colosseum and the Palatine Hill. Okay, you got to pay more. It's not the end of the world. It's expensive for them to keep all this sort of patrimony up to snuff and everything for us. But most tourists don't realize that they're going to stand in line at the Colosseum to get a ticket to the Colosseum and the Palatine Hill, and they're going to stand in a long line. Or they could walk 100 yards away to the gate to the Palatine Hill, buy that combo ticket, and then just scoot over back to the Colosseum and go straight in. That's just kind of a fun little trick. And these are the kind of tricks that a good guidebook should share with you. In Venice, St. Mark's Basilica has always got a long, long line. They don't let you carry bags into the line. They've got this odd situation where there's a little church nearby that's turned into a baggage storage depot. You can go there, drop your bag, and they give you a little pass that lets you go straight into the church without waiting to get in through that big long line because you checked your bag. That's almost reason to take a bag, even if you don't need it, from your hotel. So you can drop by there, drop the bag off, pick up the pass, go directly into the church. Many people want to go to Mad Ludwig's castle, you know, in Bavaria, that sort of Disney castle that we all like to dream about.
Right.
Many people drive all the way from Munich down there and are told, sorry, all of the tourists today have been allocated, come back tomorrow. That is inexcusable for a sloppy tourist to do that. You could have called and made a reservation, and then you'd know you're going to go into the castle for the English tour at 11 in the morning and walk right in. See, it's just important for people to realize that if you're going on your own, you can be your own tour guide. Me, for 25 years, I was a tour guide leading our groups around. Now I help organize the tours, but I take my tours because I love the work my guides do. So each year I sign up for one of my own tours. It's kind of fun. I get letters from me. And I just take the tour and enjoy the expertise of the guide. But all of our guides and any good guide in Europe has to be concerned about avoiding those kind of lines. Hey, let's talk once more about the importance of public radio, because I'm just, like right now, I've been able to talk and talk and talk without worrying about offending, you know, big tour companies or without having to, abbreviate everything because we have to take a commercial break. And it's just day in and day out, you get this kind of quality discussion on WOSU and public radio. And when you consider the shrill discourse all over our society these days, when you think of how in so many ways they just, there's important issues at hand and people in power are just saying, go shopping, we'll take care of it. Or when you think of how the fear-mongering is going on here, where people are trying to get us afraid of somebody for a certain reason, I just love the fact that there's a high-minded oasis on the dial where we can really get together and share information, respect each other's intelligence, assume an attention span, and bring to you programming not shaped by advertiser concerns. I did an exciting hour, it was exciting for me anyways, to go to Iran and share that on WOSU on TV. No underwriter would touch that show. You know, it's just too dangerous, too dicey. But WOSU was courageous and aired that, even if the advertisers weren't there to support it, because WOSU has a commitment to bring us a better understanding of our world. We have one place on the dial that is People's Radio. When I'm giving my show, it's People's Travel on People's Radio, and it's just appropriate that I'm on this station. If you recognize the value of public broadcasting in Columbus, if you appreciate the programming day in and day out with WOSU, recognize this is not a charity. This is a service. This is a vital part of the fabric of our communities. It's important for our families. It's important for our towns. And it's important for our nation as we grapple with the other 96% of humanity. We've got some serious challenges right now, and we got to smart ourselves up rather than dumb ourselves down. And this is how you do it, with high-minded broadcasting that WOSU is passionate about. Two ways to support the station right now: a $60 gift of support, and we'll thank you with the Europe Through the Back Door book, the brand new 2012 edition, 800 pages. Everything I've been learning in 30 years of travel I've packed into this book. My favorite chore every year is, after 4 months of travel, splicing what I've learned into this book so people can learn from my mistakes rather than their own. That's Europe Through the Back Door. That's yours with great thanks for a $60 gift to this station. If you can support WOSU for $160, we'll thank you with that book, Europe Through the Back Door, plus... Boy, this is exciting as far as a TV producer and a tour guide and a teacher to be able to offer 50 hours of TV, everything we've ever produced, all the shows. There's 90 shows in Europe, 90 half hours taking you from Norway to Portugal and Morocco to Israel and Egypt. 8 shows on Eastern Europe, 13 shows on Italy, 4 shows on Turkey, 4 shows on Ireland, 3 shows on how to travel filmed in Europe. You name it, you've got the entire continent covered. What a library to have on your bookshelf. beautiful, beautiful images and lessons and experience all over Europe. That's yours with great thanks. Plus, you get the newsletter and the Smithsonian magazine that I got to write. All of that is yours. Every gift we're talking about today for that $160 pledge. One way or another, get on board. Be a supporting member of WOSU, and then every time you tune in, you'll feel better about it because you know you're on board. Thank you so much.
Make your $160 pledge right now by calling 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org. If you listen to All Sides with Ann Fisher every day, then we need to hear from you now. Support the station that is a part of your life. Support public radio. Call 1-866-897-9678 or visit us at WOSU.org. And remember, with a pledge at the $60 level, we have a great Rick Steves package as your thank you gift, the latest edition of Rick's Foundational Travel Skills Book, Europe Through the Back Door, also a special full-color edition of Smithsonian Magazine called Travels with Rick Steves, and the Rick Steves Tour Newsletter. Get the most out of every day of your vacation, the same way you get the most out of every day with WOSU, with Rick's newest handbook, just a $60 contribution to 89.7 NPR News. Call 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. You can go online to WOSU.org and learn more about our thank you gifts. And remember, we appreciate your support at any level. Whatever you can afford, live within your means. We appreciate it no matter what. 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call. Rick, we've talked a lot about the Rick Steves Tour Newsletter. Can you tell us more about why that's a valuable extra to have throughout the year?
Yeah, we just produced this just for this season, and it's 64 pages, and it's a collection of all of our favorite experiences in Europe. I just have so much fun going over there and having different experiences, and that's just kind of a way to share, inspire people to be hands-on in their travels. And at the same time, it does segue into explaining what our tours and our guidebooks and our apps and that kind of thing do to help people enjoy traveling better. So it just explains basically what we get excited about in Europe and how we make our money as travel teachers and so on. I should remind people that our radio show has been on now for 7 years, and that's a lot of material. And I have deconstructed all the radio hours that we've aired on WOSU and organized the various interviews into country-specific playlists. And people can get those for free with my new Rick Steves Audio Europe app, along with self-guided audio tours for all the major sites in Europe, in Paris, London, Venice, Florence, Rome, Athens, Vienna, and so on. And if you just download that, you can click Norway, Portugal, Ireland, or whatever, and then take all of the audio material for free that we've aired over the years. And that really helps people sort through all the material we've brought your way over the years in WOSU and contribute to your trip so you can travel better. And another fun thing I've done lately is sort of kept my blog going really, really regularly on Facebook, at Rick Steves on Facebook, and just giving people a kind of behind-the-scenes look at how we make our TV shows and what's going on in Europe in a candid kind of up-to-the-minute way. So it's fun to be connecting with people, and I appreciate people listening to our show on WOSU and watching it on WOSU TV also. And we've got just a lot of great travels coming up. So it's fun to be travel partners this way, and I really appreciate people enjoying the programming we can bring your way.
We're running out of time. I just want to remind people that the $60 contribution level, our thank you gift to you, the latest edition of Rick's Travel Skills Book, 2012 Europe Through the Back Door, a travel skills handbook, also the full-color edition of Smithsonian Magazine, Travels with Rick Steves, and the Rick Steves Tour Newsletter. At the $160 contribution level, all of that, plus Rick's All 90 Shows DVD Anthology, 12 years of, or 11 years, I guess, of travel expertise at your fingertips, beautiful photography, beautiful cinematography. It's all yours at the $160 pledge level. So make that call right now, 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. Or go online to WOSU.org. That's 1-866-897-9678. Rick Steves, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate it, as always.
And it's a delight, as always. Thanks a lot, and happy travels.
Thanks to everybody for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, streaming online at WOSU.org, 89.7. NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.